This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Really, 007.
Well, welcome everyone to the Really 007 podcast. I'm Tom Pickup, and we're here for this special interview with Irka Bochenko, as you can see here, who appeared.
Hello.
Great to have you, Irka. And she's coming all the way from Dubai. Great to have you. Now, Irka appeared as a Bond girl, one of Drax's beauties, in one of our favourite films. And Sam here, Sam Rogers, is with me. It's one of our favourite films. It's one of his favourite films. It's Moonraker. So we're so excited to be talking about that film in particular.
But, you know, this is my favourite also, so that's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good choice, Irka. Now, coming back to our podcast, you can catch all our interviews and other episodes on iTunes and Spotify. And we've also got a YouTube channel now. So please subscribe and leave a nice review. We're also on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So please add us onto your lists. You'll find plenty of silly interactions between Bond fans from all over the world. And we look forward to welcoming you to that weird experience. Anyway, let's get back to the main thing. We've got Irka here, and we can't believe we're chatting to a real-life Bond girl. So welcome to Bond fans from the UK. Moonraker at the moment is having a real renaissance. And it's one of the most loved Bond films there is, Irka. So we're so glad to have you.
I'm very glad to be with you this morning. I'm very happy.
Well, Irka, she, of course, has had a colourful career in many different things. She was a model to start with. She then went on to do acting. And then, of course, she's gone into the world of pop music, where she's not only performed as a pop musician, but she's written for many other acts. So we've got lots to talk about. But, of course, we know her best for her memorable part as one of Drax's alluring women in Moonraker. So yes, you've got a very interesting background, Irka. You were born in Poland, is that right?
Yes, I was born in Poland, and I arrived in with my parents. We moved to Paris when I was 6 years old. But I must say that my dad was born in France, in Paris. And when he was 20, he just moved to Poland, and then he met my mom and everything. So, and he knew that he would never stay in Poland more than a few years. So, we moved there when I was six, with my three brothers.
What was it like growing up in Paris?
You know, I was six. It was amazing because Paris at that time, it has changed a lot. But at that time, it was the most beautiful city in the world, and so everyone was dreaming to go to Paris. And I couldn't speak French, but I just was saying all the time, I'm Parisienne, Parisienne. It means from Paris. I'm Parisienne, Parisienne. It was very funny, I think. Yeah, but it was very great to be in Paris. It was wonderful.
Right, and the first thing you did was you broke into the modeling world. Is that right?
Yes. You know, when I was 13, my dad showed me a magazine and he said, you know, you should send your picture there. It was for this a beauty contest. So I was lucky. And so I went to the final. And then I must say that very famous singer got in touch with me. And he was a boss of a big agency, model agency. But I was very young. So when he contacted me, I said that I was 16, but it wasn't true. I was 14. So when I arrived to the agency, the manager of the agency looked at me and said, but you're not 16. Come on, come back in 2 years. So, but she saw that I was so sad. So she kept me in this agency. So I started as a model when I was 14 with Girls Models. The name of the agency was Girls Model.
She must have seen such potential as well. If she said, oh, well, actually, no, we'll keep you on, even though you should be back in 2 years, like, oh, you can start now.
Yeah, you know, the thing, I was very fond of this famous artist, this famous singer also. So I was, I was very excited to be in this agency and to get in touch with him because I was very fond of him. And I think that he gave me the love of music and to be on stage.
So what were the first few modeling jobs you did? That must have been exciting.
The very first job, it was amazing because it was not, yeah. In the beginning, I did a lot of photo shoot to see how it goes and everything. And I went to school at the same time, so... it wasn't very easy, but the very first job, I was 15 and a half. It was for Vogue magazine and with Helmut Newton. So it was just fantastic, really, because he was one of the best photographer in the world at that time, Helmut Newton. And of course, Vogue magazine was the best magazine as well.
So how many more shoots did you do for Vogue?
You know, at that time, the camera wasn't the same as today. So we had to shoot a lot, and a lot of photos to get one. But we did already, we had to shoot already, I don't know, maybe 800 photos. And they choose four photos for this magazine, four photos.
And that must have taken you, did that take you around the world, your modeling?
Yeah. Yes, then I went to New York. I was with Eileen Ford. And then I went also to Tokyo and to Milano. To Milano also. I was in the very big agency in Milano.
So really, you were living the life of a Bond girl from an early age.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's why, you know, when some people are asking me that, how was it to be in Moonraker? I was used already to these beautiful things, you know, to travel, I was used to... beautiful makeup, beautiful dresses. And so I was used already. So it wasn't very new for me to that kind of thing. So when I played in Moonraker. You understand what I mean?
Yes, yeah, yes, I do. Yeah. Because you're so young at this stage and you have the modeling, you have the singing and then the acting. So what came next after the modeling?
You know, but what was very strange, it was that I didn't want to be in this part of, you know, of business. I wanted to be an astronomer.
Oh, wow. So okay, wow.
It's completely different. You know, when I was 9, 10, 11, I didn't even think about to be a model or whatever. I wanted to be an astronomer. So, but what is funny is when Margot Capelier, you know, the director, she got in touch with me for this role. I didn't want to do it because for me, you know, I wanted the first role. I wanted the role, Lois Child's role, but I was too young. And she told me, no, you're too young. You cannot, you cannot. So this role would be fantastic for you. So, and when she explained me, the film, the story of the film. So she convinced me. So I accepted, you know, to play it because Moonraker, it was funny, you know, because I wanted to be astronomer. So maybe I was thinking it's maybe a sign somewhere. So I did it. So, but I have no regret at all.
So who did you first meet from the Bond world?
I met Margot Capellier, then the production Cubby Broccoli.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
With Lewis Gilbert, and but it was in Paris. So yeah, I don't remember the very first time who I met. I know that it was Margot Capellier, but then, yeah, I think it was Broccoli, yeah.
Did you realise who these people were? Because they're massive people in the world of film, aren't they?
You know, the thing is that at that time, of course, James Bond was very famous, but not like nowadays, you know, not like today. So I think nobody really realised at that time how big it could be, how he would be. And I know that when at that age, I had a lot of friends, men, boys, they really were fun, very fun. And I didn't understand that at that time. But, you know, as I said, it wasn't that famous as it is today, you know. So
it was probably better that you didn't know them because you were unfazed.
Yeah.
Amazing. We hear people and actors from the Bond franchise say how friendly Cubby Broccoli was and how friendly everyone was. Lewis Gilbert as well. Were they lovely people to meet?
They were really fantastic, you know. They were really fantastic. Lewis Gilbert, Broccoli, all the team was so nice, so friendly. And I like a lot Cubby. And there is one thing I remember with Cubby. I was with him in Venice because I already went to Brazil, to Argentina, to Guatemala, and to Venice. And when we had a cup of tea together, and he just told me, you know, Irka, you are different from the others. You have something special. I suggest you to come to England for drama classes. And so, but it never happened because I was very young and I didn't realize, you know, that it was how important it could be at that time. So, but sometimes I wonder if I had been to London, what would have happened with my career and with me, with myself. So I don't know. There were so great, fantastic people. Roger was simply amazing. We adore him as Bond because, you know, he was exactly in his life. His simplicity was amazing. It seems to me that Roger never played a character. He just played himself all the time. He was joking, laughing all the time, a lot of sense of humor. And he was a very friendly person. And I think this kind of actors, as I say always, doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, it was really a pleasure to work with him and with all the team. Yeah.
Roger's such a larger-than-life character, and you can really see it on screen. And I just wonder, I've heard, you know, that he had been a bit of a joker as well. Is there anything memorable that he did on sets or behind the scenes that we just as fans wouldn't know about?
Now, the thing is, when he was so friendly and he was everywhere, you know, when we were shooting, he was going everywhere, talking to everybody. When I also was in Venice, I remember that he was in the, you know, the boat, how do you call it?
Gondola.
Gondola.
I was shooting, you know, pictures of him and in a place, Saint-Marc place. And he just stopped in front of me and he said, come on, let's do pictures together. And I just said, no, I was so shy because I was really shy. So he did, come with me. And we asked somebody to shoot pictures of us. And I said, no. So I continued to shoot pictures of him. And so I found this, you know, this moment very amazing because he was so nice. He was, I don't know, I have no words, you know, because he was really so simple. I really learned a lot of him because from him, you know, the simplicity, all we are coming from the same place, we are going to the same place. So the simplicity, I think it's it's very important. And he was like this. He was very simple. He was very calm. So
I can see, Sam, you've got a picture of Roger Moore there.
So I realized I had a bunch of postcards in a box that I had been given about 10 years ago. I've always just kind of had them to the side, and I've never, since I started becoming writing about Bond and doing a bit more with Bond, I'd never thought, oh, I'll get these out. So yesterday I just saw them on the side and I thought, oh, let's see what which Moonraker ones are in here. And I was kind of hoping that there was going to be a promotional picture of all the Drax women, including Urca, but unfortunately there wasn't. But I did have these that are behind me, so I thought I would show them off.
Fantastic. Going back to Roger, obviously you've done singing as well, but you actually recorded a duet with him, is that right?
Yes, because, you know, when I became a songwriter, singer, you know, I just forget my Irka Boshenko. I just have to change my name.
Yeah.
I win Bo, so I cut Boshenko to Bo, and Irka, it is Irene. Without the
yes.
So Irene Bo, because we, you know, when you in France, when you're a James Bond girl, you don't know how to write, you don't know how to sing, you're just nothing, so you cannot do anything. So I decided to change my name, and then I started, you know, so I forgot James Bond, I forgot this part of my life because I had something new to do too. And then many years later, I received a kind of message, you know, an email. Are you Irka Boshenko? As I said, come on, maybe I have to answer. No, because if you are Irka Boshenko, you have to know that you are invited in London to sign autographs, Autographica.
Yes, yeah.
And so in the beginning, I thought it was a joke. So, but sign up. And I answered. So I was invited there. And then I went there. It was amazing. So it was just a family, you know.
Yeah.
You know, James Bond is like a family. The fans and the actors are all together. For me, it's the same. You know, it's like a big family. And I was really, really surprised of this. And then I met some other drag girls like Catherine Serre, Beatrice, Chichinou, and it was for the 50th anniversary of James Bond.
Yeah.
And then, so I thought, you know, it's amazing. I have to go back in this world because I love it, you know. So I decided to write a song for the 50th anniversary. But of course, I lost all the, you know, I didn't have any contact from Roger anymore because I haven't seen him for so many years. So I got in touch with James Bond in France, the James Bond fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Club, James Bond Club. And they gave me the contact of Owen.
Yeah, his agent.
I sent a message. The same day, 1 hour later, Roger answered me. Of course, I will do this duet with you. So it was just like a dream coming true, you know. So it was really fantastic. So I went to record the song. So I first, of course, wrote the song and everything. And then we met in Switzerland, and I recorded his voice in Switzerland with his wife was there, Christina also. And so it was much more, even much more beautiful for me at that time because we were so close, you know. And when I just see him in the corridor when he's opening the door, I haven't seen him for so long. It was just, you know, like, I don't know how to explain that. I think one of the most beautiful days of my life.
Oh.
I don't know. It was so, I was feeling so, I don't know, you know, I have a tears probably in my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was so beautiful. And I just get into his arms and so, hello, because it was amazing. It was really beautiful. He was really fantastic. Person.
Was he exactly the same as he was all those years ago?
Yes, he was exactly the same.
Yeah.
He haven't changed at all. He was the same. but his wife was there, so it was a little bit different. but no, he was really the same.
Tell us about the recording the song then.
You know, I'm just
sorry.
No.
Sorry, because it was
This is the effect Roger has on us. We yeah? It's so sad though, because we all remember where we were when we heard that he died as well, and it brings back those memories, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was life, that's life.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the recording, you know, he just was looking at me and he said, so I had the microphone and the technical, you know, material. And he said, so what to do? What do I have to say? What? So I said, listen to the song many times. And then I take you, you take the microphone and you say what you want.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
And so he listened to the song once, twice, and then he started to talk. And a little bit, because the song is called Happy Birthday to Bond. So then he started to sing Happy Birthday with this beautiful voice.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very fantastic. It was really great, yeah.
He knows how to pull a gun, how to shoot a girl to him. Higher, always more and higher. Higher, one day here and next day elsewhere. Happy birthday, happy birthday, Mr. Bond, yeah.
Oh, call me James.
Oh, yeah.
James.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was really, as I said, one of the most beautiful days of my life, because so intense, you know, so...
I guess it's a mix of a lot of different things. You've got all this joy of seeing someone that you've not seen for a long time. There's, I would presume, some nostalgia as well for seeing something taking you back to a place so long ago in your career, and then just meeting for such a joyous moment, and it just sounds like a really beautiful time.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And then we went for we had lunch downstairs, and it was funny because of course everybody was looking at him, and he was saying hello to everyone. And And then we sat and we talked a lot about the past, of course, about Moonraker, about all the team. And he really liked this moment, this, you know, that time he remembered. And the thing very funny, we talked about Helmut Newton, and he was their friend, his friend also at that time. And I didn't know. And I just told him, of course, I started my career as a model with Helmut Newton, and you talk to me about Helmut Newton so many years later. It was really, you know,
And he lived in Switzerland, didn't he?
Yes, he was in Switzerland and also in Monaco, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, Mr. Bond. Special time to celebrate.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, here's a song, Mr. Bond.
No, James, to say happy birthday to Pierce, to Craig, to Timothy, to George, and to Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Jim, to you. Yes, my name is Bond, James Bond.
Well, that brings us on to your singing, actually, because, like you said, you were called Irene Beau when you were a singer. Yeah. What sort of songs did you perform early on then in your career?
You know, I like every kind of music, so I think I'm able to perform many, you know, many styles. Yeah. But, of course, pop music, for me, it's, yeah, pop music. I like sometimes some jazz also. I like rap. So,
yeah, yeah.
Many different, you know, I'm very inspired by rap, you know, because they have so beautiful lyrics.
Yeah.
So I'm very inspired by it. And everybody's really surprised when I say that. But yeah, very, yeah, a lot of different kind of music.
Who inspired you growing up? Which artists inspired you?
Oh, I loved Elton John.
Yes.
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, only for the moment. Oh, yeah, I, of course, when I was a kid, I loved Barbara Streisand. But then, I don't know, I like a lot of style, a lot of artists. But mostly, of course, Elton John and Freddie Mercury. Well, for me, Elton John is just the best.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you. We love Elton John as well.
Yeah, but I knew that, I saw that you know Tina Arena. Because
had you written some songs for her? Is that right?
Yes, of course. Yes, I've written some songs.
Amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. How did that come about with Tina?
But just one question. Is she famous in?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's Australian, isn't she?
Yeah, she's Australian. Yeah, but I didn't know because sometimes there are very famous artists in France, but they are not unknown, you know, in other countries. So I was just surprised that you knew her. But it was fantastic to meet her because she had a beautiful voice, and of course, it was really great to work with her. Yeah, I met her many times because I wanted to be as close as possible to write lyrics really for her. So I really had to be close to her. So it was really fine and beautiful to work with her.
Do you prefer writing or singing?
It's funny because I love both. You know, sometimes it depends on my inspiration. Sometimes I love to write, you know, to be all alone in somewhere with no one. And I'm just in another world and I write. And, you know, inspiration is write. But I like also to be on stage because, of course, to share my feelings, to share things with public, so I love it. So it's really, I like both, at the same level, you know, but it's so different, but I love. And I think it's one help the other.
Yes, yeah.
You know? Because when I'm on stage, I can see what people like, what public likes, you know, what they like, what they love, what the words they want to hear. So it helps me for writing. And what I mean, because my English is
I guess you respect the writing process after, if you've just been a performer, you can respect all the effort that goes into writing once you actually get down to it yourself, and then to see what you've written then be performed either by yourself or by someone else is also must be very happy that the work that you've put in.
Yes, sure. Yes, I remember the first, because I worked with many publishing company, with EMI at that time and Sony Publishing in France. And of course, they get me in touch with a lot of artists. And in the beginning, you know, I wrote a song, and then I saw at that time, you know, five girls were singing in France, and they were very famous. So I wrote a song for them. And when I first time saw in the TV, the video clip, and it was just, you know, it was fantastic also. It wasn't me, but it was as fantastic as it would have been me.
It was me.
So yeah, it was amazing. It's a very beautiful feeling. Yeah.
I mean, I just have to say, though, that I listened to some of your music last night, and I feel like I'm going to butcher some of the song names. Tu sais comment le paradis? Tu sais comment le paradis? Est-ce qu'il y a des magnolia? Est-ce que c'est comme Alexandrie? Ou comme ton moulin de Danois? Tu sais comment le paradis?
C'est comment le paradis?
Shelley, this is not me, and un, deux, trois, j'irai au bois, I think is how you say it. Those are what I've got written down because I thought they were excellent and I had them on repeat. So, no, and I'm looking forward to listening to more as well.
And you know, the thing is that because here in Dubai, everybody speaks English. So I read, now I decided to write songs in English. So even un, deux, trois, j'irai au bois, it means it's, yeah, I wrote it in English. We wrote the English lyrics and un, deux, trois, normal, blah, blah. That's it's just pleasure and bliss. Un, deux, trois, take off my bra. Baby, the devil I miss. You know, something very funny. Very funny. I decided to write all my songs in English also. And yesterday we worked on a special song also called Tu seras un homme, mon fils, you'll be a man, my son. I know Kipling wrote a poem a long time ago, but it's completely different. Yeah, so I'm writing the song in English now. Also, maybe I would send it to you once.
There was another weird kind of like coincidence when preparing for this interview, because when looking at what you had done, I'd seen that your first film credit was for Bilitis in 1977. And I've had one of the pieces of music from that film on my Spotify for a number of years, and I had no idea that it was from a film. And I just thought that piece was beautiful. And then to find out that you had been in that film, I think as the character Prudence, and then I did watch some clips from the film as well in preparation, and it's just funny to see how you've kind of traversed different things, and you've gone from kind of like a French cinema background to go into this internationally renowned film, and then go on to establish this writing and singing career. It's just excellent to kind of see the trajectory that, although maybe you didn't go to drama school like that, you've still managed to do something with your life, and you're at a place that you are very happy and comfortable with, and that you continue.
I think it's called freedom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I have to say another thing. Is that right? You've been involved with Eurovision?
Yes.
Oh, amazing again.
But just as a songwriter. No.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
No, we talk only about this because I have so many. I've done so many things, but
that's fine.
You know, I worked with a famous, quite famous artist, French artist, and I wrote a lot of songs for her. And then someone wanted her to be in a Eurovision contest, and so he just asked me to write some lyrics for that. So I did it. And yes, we were to Greece for the Eurovision contest with this song called Coco Dance. And this was sung by Séverine Ferrer, a French artist. Hey, oh, Coco Dance. Hey, oh, pas, oh, pas. send me already, you know, because the Eurovision was a few days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we watched it, yeah.
Yeah, I watched it from here. But it's amazing because I think that there are so many talents now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And the one who won, what is his name? From the
Public. Yeah, it was Sam, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes, no, the UK artist.
It's amazing. It's like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in a way, yeah, yeah.
You know? And I really, you know, I really thought he would win. Because
yeah, well, I think we're proud that he did so well. I mean, it's the best we've done in, 20 years, is it, Sam? Something like that?
I think so. But it's been a long time to go from nil quoi to then being second on the board. I think you can't be mad at that.
No, and to lose to Ukraine is fair, isn't it? You know, it was a great outcome for everyone, I think. Well, France didn't do very well, did they?
Come on.
Yeah.
Come
on. Sorry.
Come on. It's from Bretagne, from, you know, a part of France.
Yeah.
Why don't even speak, sing in French or English, but come on.
You need to write next year's
entry. Yes, you do. Yeah.
You know, it's a disaster. I think in France, everything is a disaster.
What are you up to now in Dubai? You're doing some performances there, aren't you?
Yes, you know, I performed already in Expo 2020.
Yes,
for the Slovenian Pavilion. So it was very, because I know I have a friend working in Dubai municipality, and he just asked me, so why don't you sing a song, in Expo? So I said, of course. So because a few years ago, I wrote a song about environments. And I sang this song there. Then I also performed in another place, one and only Hotel Mirage. It's a very glamorous place also. I already performed the same song called Planet Blue, La Planète Blue Planet. Because I'm very, you know, invested in environment and in women's cause, you know, women's cause.
Right.
I write a lot of songs, special with this, on some subject, you know.
Yeah. It has true meaning, you know.
Yes. A lot of truth in those those songs, and they're important. That's great. Yeah. Do you like the Bond songs? The music from the James Bond films.
Of course, who doesn't like it?
Yeah, good.
For sure, it's beautiful. I must say, it's a stamp. The music in the James Bond movies is so important. You know, it's a part of the big success of Bond. The music is a big part of the success of this film, I think.
Your song for Moonraker was from Shirley Bassey, so that's amazing, isn't it? And I love that song. I love it. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's true. It was a beautiful song.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to talk about your costume in Moonraker, because I adore the, I don't know what material it is. It looks like it could be chiffon, the white gown dress that you wear. That is probably most recognized, you know, thing that you wear. And because that entire scene where you lure Roger into Drax's base, and, you know, you're walking past, I think it's Iguazu Falls in Brazil/Argentina, and it's just an absolutely gorgeous set piece. And I just think you're made as a character, as an actress, to look as angelic and as beautiful as possible, but you're just luring him into a trap, and I absolutely just adore that. And I just wondered, because I think it was Jacques Fonteray who did the costuming on Moonraker, and I just wondered like how much collaboration there was, or how many fittings or whatnot went into that, because the overall product which we see on screen is amazing, and that's one of my favorite scenes from the film.
Yeah,
but yeah, of course, the one thing I regret, all these costume or dresses disappeared.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Nobody knows where are all these costumes, all these dresses, and so it's just sad about that.
But how was filming in that particular location? Because I know you do a lot of walking, and I was a bit worried because I know that you're wearing heels, and when you walk when you walk on the rocks, in my mind I'm like, I hope she's able to wear flat shoes during that particular section, because I really don't want her to slip and fall.
You see, I'm here, so this yeah. it was really, because the team was much more smaller, so the landscape was beautiful, and it was just amazing. These countries were just amazing. It was waterfalls and nature, you know, the nature. Maybe it inspired me, maybe, you know, for my songs, environmental songs, maybe.
Yeah. You went to Venice as well. Amazing.
Yeah, to Venice also. It was the same. It was beautiful. Everything was fine, you know, so.
Yeah, I also just love that when you meet Roger for the first time in the film, and you know he's trying it on a little bit, and and you're just saying, oh, you can go anywhere you please, and then you just give him this real like intense glare once he leaves, and then you just know, okay, Erka's characters, there's something up there, there's something going on. Yeah. And I think because it's Anne Lomberg's character who he sees next, and it seems like you two are kind of the ones who maybe call Drax or his people and go, okay, Bond's here, we need to get him. And that's where the whole gondola section appears. And I just think it's not over the top, it's not super grand, but you manage to do something that makes the audience think what's going to happen next. And I just think, you know, you make the best of the role that you have, and I really believe that you did that.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that you... So you're going very far in that kind of detail. That's fantastic, you know. I'm just, it's amazing because every detail you see. I have nothing else to say. You say so beautiful things, and so.
Well, I mean, we'll be seeing it on the Moonraker on the big screen again very soon,
yeah,
because it's coming to UK cinemas in a few weeks' time. So I know. I've seen it on the big screen once before a few years ago, and it was amazing. And I know, but Tom and the other guys from the podcast haven't, and a lot of other people in the fandom haven't. So I know everyone's going to be so excited to see the film on the big screen where it should be viewed. I wanted to just ask as well, what was your memory of, did you go to the premiere of the film? And, you know, if so, what was that experience of going to these premieres like?
Yes, of course, the premiere in London and in Paris. At both, but it's a long time ago. So I have some pictures of this. So it was, you know, we were considered like big stars. So it was amazing as I said before, nobody knew at that time that it would be so amazing, so famous. And you imagine it's 60 years of James Bond. And everybody loved James Bond all over the world. So many fans. It's just amazing. It's just amazing, you know, when I think about it. And of course, at the premiere, it was beautiful. Roger was as ever so beautiful. So with his very smile, you know, his smile, he was always smiling. Every girl, the drag girls were there also. They were very aware. Everybody was very happy to be in this premiere. Yeah.
What's it like being a Bond girl? For all these years, do people still recognize you and want to talk to you? And
you know, one thing, it was very funny because I had a friend, sometimes people recognize me, sometimes no. But I was in Los Angeles with a magician. He's doing magic, and there is a very place, an important place for magic there.
Yeah.
And we went there, and you know, someone he was supposed to do magic there, you know. So we were together. We opened the door. We went there, and someone just looked at me. Came to me. He was my friend was supposed to be the star, you know, because he was supposed to do magic there. And so, and this guy come to me and look at me and come to me. But you are Ilka Bushenko. It was maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago, you know. It was so funny because I thought at first time that it was a joke or so, you know, from my friend, but it wasn't. He just recognized me. I was in Hollywood.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Quickly linking to that, I know a few years ago you actually met up with a lot of the actresses from Moonraker at I can't remember the name of the estate, but I think it was to do with the James Bond French fan club. And you all met at the estate where, do you remember what it's called, Tom? The
Drax estate.
Film, the Drax estate, and you all met, and you know, this kind of, it was like a Moonraker exhibition. And I guess I just wanted to ask, what was it like to have all of these French actresses? Because it was quite a French production, Moonraker. A lot of the production had moved to France for the first time. And I guess, you know, I would hope that there was a sense of camaraderie on set, and that even, you know, so many years later, that you and your, you know, colleagues all met again and just enjoyed being in each other's company to just recount such a unique time in your lives. I was just wondering, what was it like to just be around those people again?
It's a kind of, it's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic because so many years later, you know, to see drugs girls again and to see the fans coming and so it's just magic, you know.
Oh
brilliant.
It is amazing. Yeah. I think your character is very mysterious. You know, you and the Drax girls, they're sort of, I don't know, they're sort of always there in the background, and you're wondering what's going on here. And then you lead Bond to this pyramid. What was it like filming the scene in the pyramid? What did you see any of Roger being attacked by the snake?
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, it was with the snake, because when we saw the snake for real, it was really funny, really funny. When you see in the movie, it's something else, you know, it looks real. But when you saw this in plastic, it was amazing, really. It was really like a joke. It was funny.
Yeah.
And it's difficult as well because you've got all of you girls have to look so serious and so kind of angry, but I bet when you're watching someone struggle with this plastic fake snake, I bet it's difficult to keep, you know, a straight face.
Yeah, it's true. It was very, very, very.
And of course, Drax himself, Michel Lonsdale, he sadly died, didn't he, quite recently? What was it like to work with him?
You know, at that time we were not very close because we were not in the same scenes, so not. And I heard later, that he didn't want to talk about Moonraker anymore. But very strange things happened. A few years ago, I met him in the south of France. And he was so happy. We were so happy to meet again.
Lovely.
And he just talked to me about Moonraker. So, you know, I was thinking that he didn't want to talk about it anymore. And we were there talking about Moonraker, and for him it was a beautiful experience. He was, you know, he really enjoyed to be in Moonraker, to you know. So it was amazing also when we met around the swimming pool. We were talking hours about so it was, yeah. And a big, very famous actor. He was very,
massive in France, yeah. Oh, it's incredible.
Mr. Bond. You defy all my attempts to plan an amusing death for you. You're not a sportsman, Mr. Bond. Why did you break off the encounter with my pet python?
I discovered he had a crush on me. What exactly are you up to here, Drax? And why the orchids?
The curse of a civilization. It was neither war nor pestilence that wiped out the race who built the great city lying around us. It was their reverence for this lovely flower.
Because long-term exposure to its pollen caused sterility.
Correct, Mr. Bond. As you discovered, I have improved upon sterility. Those same seeds now yield death. Not, of course, to animals or plant life. One must preserve the balance of nature.
Moonraker launch program, now commencing.
Sam, you watched Moonraker last night, didn't you? And
yes.
You noticed a couple of things. One in the credits, and then one about that deleted scene, perhaps, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. So I couldn't remember, you know, that your name is so prominent in the opening credits. Like, it's directly alongside, you know, the long established, you know, cast like Lois Maxwell and Bernard Lee and Desmond Llewellyn. And you're right next to those names. So I first thought that was amazing that you were right up there with the rest of the, you know, with these legends, essentially, which is one thing. And so that was a great surprise. But then also, I know that there's this deleted scene where Roger's character and Lois's character are walking through the space station, and yourself and the other Drax girls and the guys are floating in this room. And I was just wondering, you know, if you knew anything about that or if you actually had to be on wires at all.
Yeah, we were floating. You know, I remember we had to, there was a teacher to, we had to learn how to move slowly, but we worked a lot for that, but it was a very good experience, I must say.
Because there are a lot of these scenes that you spend a long time on and then they don't make the final film, which is annoying, isn't it? But the sets from Ken Adam, the magnificent sets, to was it nice to walk into these sets?
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I don't know how to, you know.
It was nice.
It was, yeah.
We love Moonraker now. In the Bond fandom, it really is now getting a lot more popularity. Did you realise at the time, though, it would be the biggest Bond ever at the box office? I mean, that's amazing.
Yes, I can see that you like Moonraker. I can see that. But yeah, it's funny because there are a lot of people loving Moonraker and some of them hating. It's funny.
Yeah.
Always at that time, we didn't know that Moonraker or whatever, James Bond would be so famous. And I'm very happy that you like Moonraker. So I'm very happy that Moonraker have a lot of fans. I'm very happy for that.
It is now one of the most fun Bond films. I don't know. Have you seen the new Bond film, Erica?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What did you think?
I love them, but I think that for me, I think that Daniel Craig is a very good actor, but for me, he's not James Bond. He's for me. Huh?
Yeah.
You know, he has no humor here. He's not. I don't know. For me, he's not as Roger used to be. Sean used to be, you know. So I don't know how to say. Of course, the films are beautiful, amazing, and everything. But I think I prefer the other ones, the first ones.
We'd love a new Bond film to be like Moonraker, a bit more fun and a bit more humorous, like that.
Of course, it were a lot of much more. We could have fun to, you know, it was funny. They were funny. You know, today it's very, I don't know, but they are beautiful anyway. No, they are huge anyway. So
yeah,
and the actors are excellent. You know, so
yeah,
we're looking forward to finding out where Bond goes next, but we're so happy that we have these great films, and Moonraker is one of our favourite. And it's one that people in England, if they're feeling a bit down, they'll watch Moonraker and they'll feel happy. It'll cheer them up. Yeah. It's great fun, and it's amazing that you've told us all about your experiences in the film. We thank you so much, Erica, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
But thank you to both of you. Really, I really appreciate also, and it was nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And maybe why not to meet for real sometimes?
Yes, we'd love
fingers
that.
Crossed. And yeah. I hope to hear more music. I really, really do, because it's so good.
Maybe, you know, I wrote also a song called I'm Yours. But I wait a little bit for, I want to release it. It's in English. Huh? It means that it's really for fans, because we artists are nothing without fans, and fans wouldn't exist without artists. So it's something very, so I wrote a song about that. So maybe when I will release this song, I will send it to you before.
That would be brilliant. So good. Thank you.
That would be lovely. Yeah, so we look forward to hearing more of your music, Erica. And hopefully, if you're in the UK or elsewhere, we will meet you at a Bond event. That would be amazing. Yeah. And you'll see all the love from the Bond fans in the UK. They love Moonraker.
Great. And whenever you come to Dubai, don't hesitate. I will probably also, of course, for the 60th anniversary, I'm trying to organize a kind of, I wanted to do it in Paris, but in Paris, everything is dead now. So I want to do it here. So a kind of event, for the 60th anniversary. So I'll let you know also about that.
Oh, wow. Okay, right. I'd love to go to Dubai and see you, and that'd be amazing. Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate it for taking time out of your day to speak to us Bond fans. I know the Bond fans who watch this video, they'll love it. They'll love it. And thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Really nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And have a beautiful day.
Yes, and, you will do.
And so I'll see you soon.
Really the best.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.